All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're taking a look at, well, a pretty essential part of the UK, care homes for the elderly.
Yeah, definitely a big one. And
you sent over a really insightful brochure, Care Homes for the Elderly. Where are we now?
From Grant Thornton.
Yeah. Grant Thornton UK LLP, dated March 14th, 2025. And our mission today, I think, is to really pull out those key insights from this report so that you can get up to speed really quickly on the major forces at play in this this really important part of the British economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this report really does give a comprehensive overview of the market as of December 2024. We're going to kind of unpack the structure of the sector, how it's funded, the challenges that it's facing, and then kind of what the future might hold. So it's kind of a one-stop shop for really understanding what's going on in the care home market in the UK.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So I guess let's jump right in. You know, looking at the market structure, I mean, the first thing that jumps out at me is just the scale of this market. It's a £26.2 billion sector as of December 2024. I mean, that's just a huge, huge part of the UK economy. And it's really dominated by the independent sector, comprising 90% of all care homes.
Yeah.
Within that, for-profit organizations are the biggest players at 78%, with not-for-profit at 12%.
Yeah, that's right. But what's really interesting is that while you have these big national chains, there's actually a very significant portion of the market, almost 30%, made up of operators who only run one or two homes. So it's much more fragmented than I think a lot of people would expect. And that actually speaks to the significant role that these kind of small local providers still play in the sector.
Yeah, it's not as consolidated as you might think.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's actually the report even mentions that it's kind of on a trend of deconsolidation. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's the story there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's fascinating is that over the last 15 years, the market share of the top 10 for-profit providers has actually decreased from over 27% in 2006 to under 19% in January 2024. So this suggests that the smaller to medium-sized operators, you know, they're not just surviving, but they're actually gaining ground in terms of their influence. And I think that potentially speaks to maybe their local connections or their ability to be a bit more nimble in their operations.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, it kind of makes sense anecdotally from, you know, just kind of hearing about different care homes and thinking about it. It does seem like there are some bigger players, but a lot of sort of smaller local places. I wonder if, I guess we'll get into that a bit later, but if that affects the quality of care. But I guess I also wanted to mention that, you know, care home itself is kind of a broad term. There are actually different types of care provided within that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So traditionally, there's been this split between nursing care homes, which account for about 70% of the UK homes, and then residential care homes, which make up the other 30%. Now, nursing care, which involves having, you know, on-site medical professionals, that averages about £1,567 a week, whereas residential care averages about $949.
Okay.
So there is a difference there. And part of that is due to NHS funding that contributes towards nursing care costs.
And dementia care, of course, is a huge and growing area of need, right?
Absolutely. So it's estimated to be, you know, a £9.5 billion segment annually, and that's affecting about 160,000 residents. So it's about 40% of the market value of the entire care home sector. So it's very significant. And as we've been talking about, you know, with the aging population, that's only going to become more more and more important.
And I thought it was interesting how the brochure highlights the evolution of the physical care homes themselves over the past several decades.
Yeah, definitely. If you look back to the 1970s, a lot of those homes lacked ensuite facilities and they had very small room sizes, something like 9 square meters per resident. But if you fast forward to today, the standard is now ensuite wet rooms, and space has increased to about 20 square meters per person. You're even seeing a lot of the newer homes offering amenities like salons and cinema rooms. So I think that really speaks to a greater focus on residents' comfort and their overall quality of life.
It sounds like there might even be a bit of a two-tier system emerging when it comes to the quality and the kind of offerings you get at a care home.
Precisely. The report talks about a more profitable segment emerging that caters specifically to self-paying clients who can afford these higher-end facilities and services. And that really contrasts with those who are relying on either local authority placements or NHS placements. So it definitely raises some questions about, you know, the equity of access to different levels of care.
And are these trends pretty consistent across the UK geographically, or are there differences regionally?
There's a huge amount of regional variation. So things like the number of beds per home, the percentage of homes that offer nursing care, that can vary depending on the size of the provider, and even the CQC ratings. are not uniform across the country.
Right.
So the Care Quality Commission, that's the regulatory body that inspects TARE homes and gives them ratings. And while, you know, the majority of homes are rated as good, the distribution of those ratings definitely isn't even.
Interesting. Okay, so a really diverse and evolving market, it sounds like. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about funding, because that's, I mean, that's a big one. Where does the money come from to pay for all this care?
Right. So there's been a noticeable shift in how care is actually paid for. Back in 2024, 46% of residents in independent care homes were self-funding. So that's actually up from about 41% a decade earlier. Now, the proportion of residents funded by local authorities has actually fallen. So that's down to 46% from 52%. And the remaining 8% are NHS funded.
Okay.
So we can see there's a change happening in terms of who's paying for this.
And it sounds like, you know, local authorities are increasingly looking at alternatives to traditional care homes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're seeing a growing trend of local authorities actually commissioning home care services, you know, instead of care home placements. And the primary driver for that is really the cost. You know, supporting someone to stay in their own home tends to be less expensive. We're also seeing a rise in kind of housing with care options. So these are, you know, kind of purpose-built accommodations that provide a bit more support than just living independently.
And it sounds like that it has a lot of downstream impact on the way that care homes themselves are funded. The report mentions something called cross-subsidization. What is the key insight there?
Well, the key issue is that the fees that local authorities pay, they often fall short of the actual cost of providing good quality care. Mm-hmm. So to make up for the shortfall, independent operators, what they have to do is charge significantly higher fees to private payers.
Uh-huh.
So in 2023-24, private pay fees were 23% higher for nursing care and 37% higher for residential care compared to what councils were paying.
Wow. That is a huge difference.
That's a massive, massive difference. And that fundamental imbalance is a really big challenge for the sector. You know, it creates all kinds of pressures and distortions in the market.
And then on top of that, it sounds like just generally the cost of care is rising faster than the general cost of living, right?
That's right. So care home fee inflation has, you know, outpaced general economic inflation in recent years. And just to give you an idea, from 2021-22 to 2023-24, average fees rose by about 18-19% for both nursing and residential care. But the report emphasizes that those increases, you know, haven't necessarily kept pace with the rising operating costs that the providers are facing. So you've got this kind of squeeze happening.
And just to kind of go back to this reliance on private payers, I'm curious, is that pretty consistent across the country or is there a regional variation there?
There's a lot of regional variation. The report has this kind of heat map that shows private pay penetration across England. And it pretty much follows what you might expect. Areas with greater affluence tend to have a higher proportion of self-funding residents. And that's particularly noticeable in the south of England.
Okay. So, funding is clearly presenting some, you know, some pretty major challenges for care homes. Looking ahead a little bit, what does the report say about, you know, projected demand for care homes going forward?
Well, the demographic projections are pretty stark. You know, the number of people aged 85 and over is expected to nearly double by 2047.
Wow.
So that's a huge increase. Yeah. And this aging population obviously is going to lead to a greater need for care services. There's really no way around that.
I did find it interesting, though, that even though the population is aging, the proportion of older people who are actually living in care homes has been declining. What's the reason for that?
That's a really important point. So the proportion of the 85 plus population in long-term residential care has fallen from over 25% in the mid-1990s to an estimated 12.6% in 2023. So that's quite a drop. And I think there are a few possible explanations for that. One is simply that life expectancy is increasing, so people are staying healthier for longer. Another is that there are more alternatives available now. So things like home care and supported living options, you know, they're becoming more common and more accessible. And then, of course, there's the financial pressure on local authorities. You know, they're having to make tough choices about how to allocate their resources. And funding care home places is, you know, it's a big expense.
Yeah, but it sounds like the report isn't expecting this trend of decline to continue indefinitely. Why is that? What's going to change?
Well, there are kind of two main reasons. First, the proportion of those really elderly people in care homes, it can only fall so far, right? At some point, it's going to hit a floor. And second, this is really important, the rate of increase in the 85 plus population is going to accelerate dramatically in the coming years. So while that age group grew by about 28% between 2009 and 2024, it's projected to grow by a massive 53% in the next 15 years.
Wow.
So that's a really significant jump.
Okay, so what does all of this mean for the actual number of care home places that will be needed going forward?
Well, based on the trends that we're seeing now, the report projects that there will be a need for around 26,000 additional care home residents in the UK over the next decade. And given the pressures on public sector provision that we've been talking about, it's very likely that the independent sector is going to need to meet almost all of that increase in demand.
Right.
And then on top of that, you know, a significant number of the existing care homes, they're getting older, they're becoming outdated, and they're going to need to be replaced with more modern facilities. So in fact, yeah, you know, replacing those older homes could be an even bigger driver for new development than just the growth in the elderly population itself.
That's really interesting. And what about just the overall number of care home beds available right now? What does that look like?
So since the early 2000s, the overall supply of care home beds has stayed pretty stable. There's been a slight decrease overall, but not a huge amount. But what's really interesting is that there's a shift happening beneath that stability. We're seeing more development of homes that are specifically focused on self-funders. And we're seeing a move away from nursing provision and more towards residential care, often specializing in dementia care. Mm. And I think this is probably driven by a couple of things. One is the ongoing difficulty of recruiting nurses. You know, it's just a very competitive market for those skills. And then the other is the financial pressures of providing complex nursing care. You know, it's simply more expensive. But on a more positive note, you know, occupancy rates have actually rebounded to 88.3% in 2024.
Oh, wow.
And that's after they dipped during the pandemic. So there is, you know, some signs of of recovery in the sector.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I guess earlier we touched on the fees, but I was hoping we could maybe dig a little deeper into the differences between what private payers are contributing versus what the local authorities are paying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to really emphasize just how stark the difference is. So as we discussed, the average weekly private pay fee in England in 2023-24 was considerably higher. It was £1,409 for nursing care and £11,136 for residential care. Now, compare that to the average rates that local authorities are paying, and you see a massive gap.
Yeah.
You know, that difference is really a defining feature of the sector's financial landscape. It's really shaping how things are working.
And again, I'm guessing these fee levels are not geographically uniform across the country.
No, not at all. The report's heat maps show that there are substantial regional variations in the average fees that are being charged. And as we saw with the private pay rates, you generally see higher fees in the more affluent areas, particularly down in the south of England. And then you see the lower fees kind of concentrated in certain areas in the north and the Midlands.
Okay, so it sounds like there's quite a bit of financial strain in the sector. How profitable are care homes generally?
Well, after a period of growth in the early 2000s, followed by a decline during, you know, when all the austerity measures were being implemented, profitability has seen a slight increase recently. So the report uses a key measure called EBITDARM as a percentage of income, and that stands for earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization, rent, and central management costs. So quite a mouthful.
Right.
But in 2023-24, that reached 26.1%. So there is some profitability there, but it varies enormously depending on a number of factors.
Gotcha. And the CQC rating, it sounds like, is a major factor influencing profitability. Is that right?
It's a very strong correlation. So homes that are rated outstanding by the CQC, they have significantly higher profit margins, somewhere around 30% compared to those that are rated inadequate, which had a margin of just 2%. And that makes intuitive sense, right? Because a poor rating can lead to reduced occupancy. It can attract a lot more scrutiny, potentially even sanctions from the regulator. So, you know, quality really does pay in this sector.
It really does sound like it. And it sounds like the size of the care home also plays a role in profitability.
Yeah, that's right. The report suggests that homes with between 60 and 100 beds, they tend to be the most profitable. And that's likely due to economies of scale, right? They can spread their costs over a larger number of residents. Also, providers who have a higher proportion of residents funded by local authorities, they generally have lower profitability. And this kind of goes back to what we were discussing earlier about that gap between private pay rates and local authority fees. And again, those regional profitability heat maps, they kind of mirror the trends that we saw with the private pay rates. So you see a clear north-south divide in profitability as well.
So looking ahead to 2025, it sounds like profitability might face some new challenges. What are we looking at?
Well, a couple of things. In late 2024, the government announced some policy changes that are going to increase business costs. Specifically, there's a rise in employers' national insurance contributions, and there's an increase in the national living wage. And these changes are expected to put quite significant downward pressure on profitability, so much so that some providers are even saying that they might have to dip into their financial reserves or potentially even reduce their staffing levels just to manage these rising costs.
And staff costs, I mean, they're already the biggest expense for care homes, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Staff costs typically make up about 60% of a care home's income. So in 2023-24, that was estimated to be around 12.1 billion pounds across the entire sector. And that includes a significant amount that was spent on agency staff, something like 1.59 billion pounds.
Wow. I mean, agency costs have been a growing problem, but it sounds like maybe things are starting to turn around a little bit.
Yeah, so until recently, the proportion of total staff costs that was going to agency staff, that was actually rising. But then they introduced the Overseas Employee Sponsorship Scheme, and that seems to have had a positive impact. So in 2024, we saw a decrease in the use of agency staff, and a lot of operators reported a reduction. So that brought the percentage of staff costs down to about 7% for both residential and nursing care. So, you know, a step in the right direction.
Yeah. But, I mean, recruiting and retaining permanent nurses, that still sounds like a major challenge, right?
Oh, absolutely. The demand for nurses is high across the entire healthcare sector. And agency work, you know, it often offers better pay and more flexibility. So it can be really tough for care homes to compete for those permanent staff. You know, they're really struggling to hold on to their nurses.
And the, you know, the increases that are coming in the national living wage, that's just going to add to all of this staff cost pressure, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. So these significant rises in the national living wage, plus the increase in national insurance contributions for employers, it's going to create a pretty considerable financial burden for care homes. And the report kind of suggests that the average fee increases, particularly from local authorities, are unlikely to fully offset those rising costs. So it's going to be tough. You know, local authorities are also facing their own budget constraints, so it's going to be really hard for them to make up the difference. And then on top of all of that, you've got the high staff turnover rates, which are currently at 24.2%. So that just adds to the expense, you know, having to recruit and train new staff all the time. It's a real drain on resources. And when we look at the analysis of operational costs between 2021 and 2023, we see significant increases in salaries for key roles like registered managers, head cooks, as well as just rising maintenance and utility costs. So it's a pretty challenging picture.
And aside from staff, what other cost pressures are impacting care homes, you know, in a significant way?
Well, food costs and property-related costs have also seen some pretty substantial increases since 2018. So in 2024, food costs per bed went up by 13%, while property costs overall saw a slight decrease. But utility costs, you know, they remain a significant component of those property costs, so that's something to keep an eye on. And it's interesting, the report notes that the newer purpose-built homes, they tend to have lower utility costs per bed. So it suggests that they're maybe more energy efficient, which makes sense, right? Newer buildings, newer technologies.
Yeah. And the report really emphasizes these ongoing staffing shortfalls. I mean, that seems like just a perennial problem in the sector.
Yeah. It's a persistent issue, unfortunately. And while the vacancy rate in adult social care has improved slightly, it's still considerably higher than in the wider economy and even higher than in the NHS. So there's a real struggle to attract people to work in this sector. And part of the problem is that, you know, the sector also has high staff turnover and a significant proportion of the workforce is on 0 hours contracts, which doesn't provide a lot of stability or security. So there's a growing reliance on recruiting staff from overseas to try and fill those gaps.
Right. But it sounds like those recent changes to the immigration rules are going to have a big impact on that.
Yeah, they already are. So the changes to the health and care worker visa scheme, which now restrict dependents from joining overseas care workers, they've already led to a noticeable decrease in international recruitment. And this is a major concern because there's going to be a substantial increase needed in the adult social care workforce by 2040. You know, the projections are that we're going to need many more people working in this sector. And the report also highlights that there are a worrying number of care homes that are actually operating without a registered manager. And that's a really crucial role. You know, they're responsible for ensuring quality and making sure the home meets all the regulatory requirements. So having those vacancies is a real problem.
Now, let's talk about regulation a little bit. I mean, CQC is a pretty big player when it comes to care homes.
Absolutely. So all care homes in England are regulated by the Care Quality Commission, the CQC. And they conduct these really thorough inspections, and they assign ratings to the homes based on five key areas. So that's safety, effectiveness, care, responsiveness, and leadership. And the report actually provides a pretty detailed breakdown of the CQC ratings for both nursing and residential homes as of August 2024. So it gives you a really good snapshot of the quality of care across the country.
Interesting. And is there any correlation between the size of a care home and its CQC rating?
Yeah, there is an interesting finding there. So the data suggests that for nursing homes, the larger facilities actually tend to have lower CQC ratings. And that's something that's worth keeping an eye on, especially given the increasing number of large-scale corporate providers that are entering the sector. You know, is there something about those larger models that maybe makes it harder to maintain consistently high-quality care? It's a question that needs further investigation.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And I mean, it's probably no surprise that having a good CQC rating has, you know, a lot of benefits beyond just satisfying the regulators.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So higher CQC ratings, they're linked to higher occupancy rates, better profit margins, and the ability to charge higher fees. So it's a win-win situation. On the flip side, if you get an inadequate rating, that can have some really severe financial consequences. You know, it can lead to restrictions on admissions. You might have to undergo intensive regulatory oversight, and it can be really hard to recover from that. So there's a lot of incentive to perform well in those inspections.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about the investment and financing landscape. The report indicates that there's a lot of activity in the care home market. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's been a busy couple of years. There's been a lot of merger and acquisition activity, and that's been driven by, you know, a whole range of players. So you've got smaller and medium-sized buyer groups who are consolidating. You've got some of the larger organizations expanding their portfolios. You've got private equity firms coming in and going out of the market. And there's been increasing interest from real estate investment trusts, which are known as REITs. And these are companies that own and often operate income-producing real estate. So they're seeing an opportunity in the care home sector. And I think that speaks to the fact that healthcare is generally seen as a pretty resilient market for investment. You know, people are always going to need healthcare.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. REITs in particular seem to be playing an increasingly large role in the care home market.
Yeah, they are. After a bit of a slowdown, REIT investment in care homes has really picked up again in 2024. And we've seen some significant acquisitions and some funding going towards new developments. And private equity firms have also been active. You know, they've been making some notable investments in the sector. And smaller operators are continuing to expand as well. A lot of them are doing that through acquisitions. So there's a lot of movement, a lot of change happening in the ownership structure of care homes. And it really shows that there's a clear demand for new high-quality homes, and that's often leading to partnerships between operators and REITs, so they'll work together to acquire land and develop new projects.
So transaction volumes were a little bit lower in 2024 compared to the previous year, but it still sounds like there's a lot going on. What's driving all of this consolidation and investment?
Well, I think there are several factors at play. One is just the increasing regulatory requirements. You know, it's becoming more complex and more demanding to operate a care home. And that's making it, you know, more attractive for some operators to consolidate and try to achieve economies of scale. And then, of course, you've got the residents themselves, and their care needs are becoming more complex. We're seeing more people with multiple health conditions, more people with dementia. And that requires more specialized care, which can be expensive to provide. And then you've got the perennial issue of staffing challenges. You know, recruitment is difficult, retention is difficult, costs are rising. And again, that's driving some consolidation, you know, trying to find ways to be more efficient. And then, of course, you can't ignore the aging population and the projected future demand for care services. That's attracting a lot of new investors, both domestic and international. They see this as a growth market, and they want to get a piece of the action.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay, finally, let's look at the future outlook for the sector. The report emphasizes the ongoing reliance on public funding. What are the key takeaways there?
Well, I think the fundamental point is that the care home sector is still very heavily dependent on government funding. You know, a significant proportion of residents rely on local authority funding to pay for their care. And that means that government policy and funding decisions have a huge impact on the financial stability of the sector. You know, they're really vulnerable to changes in those policies. And there's a widespread recognition that comprehensive long-term social care reform is really essential. You know, the current system is just not sustainable. We also need to see better integration between health and social care systems. You know, at the moment, they're often very siloed, and that can lead to inefficiencies and poor outcomes for individuals. So there needs to be more joined-up thinking, more collaboration.
The report also touches on some of the proposals from the Labour Party. What's the general feeling about those?
Well, there are some proposals that are seen as, you know, potentially positive, things like multi-year funding settlements for local authorities that would give them more certainty, more stability. And there's talk of reviewing carers allowance, which is, you know, obviously a very important issue. But there are also concerns, you know, particularly about the potential impact of increased national insurance contributions and minimum wage rises on labor costs. You know, we've already talked about how those costs are a major pressure point for care homes. And it's going to be really challenging for many providers to absorb those extra costs without significant increases in fees. And then, of course, you've got the recent changes to overseas workforce visas, which are, you know, a major concern for operators. You know, these restrictions on dependents for overseas care workers, that's a big worry. And it could lead to an even greater reliance on agency staff, which is, as we know, much more expensive. And that's particularly going to be a problem in rural areas where it's already difficult to recruit staff. So, you know, it's a complex situation. There's no easy answers. But one thing that's really clear is that we need to develop a strong domestic workforce plan, you know, one that really values care roles and offers clear career pathways. And we need to do more to recruit and retain competent care home managers. You know, they play a vital role in ensuring quality care.
Okay. So despite all of these, you know, pretty significant challenges, does the report offer, you know, a generally optimistic outlook for the future of the sector?
Well, the concluding remarks suggest a cautious optimism. You know, the underlying fundamentals for investment, things like the aging population, the relatively stable cash flows, and the asset-rich nature of care homes, you know, those factors are still attractive to investors, but businesses are likely to face continued pressure on their profit margins. You know, those rising wage costs are a real concern. And their report emphasizes that operators who focus on digital innovation, you know, finding ways to use technology to improve efficiency and making the most of their staff time, they're going to be the ones who are best positioned for success. We're likely to see continued expansion through acquisitions, REIT activity, and potential private equity investment. And the developer-operator model for new care home builds, that may offer strong returns as construction costs stabilize. But there are still challenges there, things like planning delays and the availability of suitable sites. And ESG factors, environmental, social, and governance factors, are becoming increasingly important for investment decisions. So things like energy efficiency, that's going to play a role in how attractive a care home is to investors. And it could even impact the saleability of less efficient homes. And the report also notes that financial restructuring tools are likely to be used, you know, for future financial challenges within the sector. So there are tools available to help those businesses that are struggling.
So it sounds like, you know, just to kind of sum up what we've talked about today, the UK care home market is a very complex landscape. There are significant financial and operational pressures. And those are only going to increase as demand continues to rise.
Absolutely.
Funding models are under strain. Staffing is a huge challenge. But there's also, you know, a lot of investment coming into the sector. And there's a clear recognition of the vital role that these homes play in our society. You know, they're providing essential care to some of our most vulnerable citizens.
Yeah. And I think understanding those interconnected issues, you know, the funding, the staffing, the regulation, all of that, it really gives you a valuable perspective on a really important part of our society and our economy. You know, this is not just a niche issue. It affects all of us in some way.
Absolutely. Okay, so on that note, here's a final thought for you all to chew on. Given these pressures and the you know, this anticipated growth in demand that we've been talking about, what role could technology play in you know, reshaping the delivery of elderly care in the future? It's a big question, but it's one that we need to start thinking about now. So thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.